We're starting a very special series of lessons this morning. You'll notice that you got your lesson in a folder, and that was by intent so that you could keep this because it's going to take us 4 Sundays worth of lessons to cover this. This was not originally designed to be a lesson. I developed this crib sheet for myself. I was facing so much angelic conflict issues in the pastorate that I needed something to help me out because I was having difficulty discerning what was going on fast enough so I knew how to respond to it. So I developed a crib sheet. That's what a crib sheet is. It's something to help you. And it's a quick reference, and the whole thing is a single outline. And it's designed that way intentionally so you can jump through the outline so that you can get to the problem, identify the problem, and then get the solution right away. So what I'm asking is that you keep this with you and bring it with you back. Bring it back with you for the next 3 lessons beyond this one. I will go ahead. I have the master. I can still prepare more. I have more folders and so forth. But keep it with you and utilize it. Like I said, this was designed to be a single quick help. It really isn't designed for Sunday school. But in speaking with people, and then utilizing this and getting this information out to individuals, other individuals found it as profitable for them as I did it for myself. So it's just I'm just sharing this because it's been a workable tool for others, and it really encapsulizes what goes on in the angelic realm so that we know what we're doing. I'd like to start with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your love and your word. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who is our helper. We ask, Father, that as we get into this lesson this morning that we would understand it and understand the truth of the Word of God by the indwelling Spirit of God who clarifies that truth to us, that we indeed might be overcomers of the evil one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is a quick reference crib sheet for angelic conflict crises. What we're going to do is cover just Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3 this morning on the first page. It's just introductory because you got to get the basics down before you actually get into the conflict issues themselves of the angelic conflict. Many Christians are unaware of the dynamics of the spiritual conflict that they face, so they can suffer spiritual defeat, for the whole world system is under Satan's control. In 1 John 5:19, it says, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. The word lies in the lap is used of a mother that is cradling a baby in her arms and is nursing the baby. That's a pretty good picture of what Satan is doing right now. What he's doing, he's trying to coddle the world to feast on what he believes or it's his goodnesses and so forth, so that the world thinks everything is going fine if they go along with Satan's agenda. What it is, it's lethal. It's absolutely lethal in the world, but that's what's happening. Now, if the whole world system is lying in the lap of the evil one, guess what? You and I are going to be confronted by Satan's activities all around us. You're going to face it when you go out, obviously, into the world, when you go shopping and so forth. You're also going to find it even amongst other Christians in a church setting. Why? Because Satan wants to go after the church. The church is the foundational institution of the truth. So if he can discredit the church, if he can get believers to be defeated within the church, he's got it made. So he will focus on the church. Satan focuses on, especially like churches like Nipog Church that teach the truth. He wants to cause us to be defeated spiritually. So we're going to face this. And many Christians are unaware of dynamics. I've had many Christians, they start to take on a ministry like a Sunday school class, or they start to take on a VBS ministry, and all of a sudden things come on loose at home. The job, everything else. And they come to me and say, Pastor, what in the world has happened? And I said, guess what? Welcome to the angelic conflict. You are now a target. So what you need to do is to rely upon the Lord. But this is what people are not aware of. Well, since angelic conflicts often rise rapidly and are designed of Satan to catch the believer off his guard. I've seen Satan attack a person in his home life, in his marriage, in his job, in his church relationships all at once. And it's designed to throw him off so that he'll mess up. So, this study is designed to help believers as a quick biblical crib sheet reference for discerning and responding to angelic conflict issues. Now, I'm indebted to Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost's book, Your Adversary, the Devil. We happen to have that in our library. But much of this content comes from Dr. Pentecost's book. He was my mentor at Dallas Seminary. Although we have independently organized this material, and we've added a lot more material of our own. Okay? The first thing we need to do when it comes to angelic conflict is understand our opponent, understand Satan. What is Satan like? What is he up to? What's his agenda? God created Satan as the most gifted, powerful angel in existence. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 15 talks about him. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." In other words, Satan was a very beautiful being. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes. He apparently had a built-in pipe organ. Satan is a master musician. Okay, he's excellent in music. "Was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered." Apparently, Satan was designed to cover the throne of God, kind of like of an umbrella. It was the chief position that he had. "And I have set thee so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee." And of course, the iniquity that was found in him was the iniquity of pride, because he said, "I would be like the Most High God." Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 also talks about Satan in his fall. Verse 12, Jesus alludes to this in the New Testament as well, in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" That's a reference to Satan. "How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou that didst weaken the nations?" That's something that Satan, incidentally, is doing right now. He's trying to weaken the nations. He's trying to weaken the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Russia, everything. He's trying to destroy those institutions. And notice what his sin was. Verse 14, he said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High," etc., etc. We'll cover that in just a little bit. But Satan was the most gifted, powerful angel in existence. So let's just stop there and think about that. If Satan is the most powerful, the most gifted angel in existence, and Satan, the angels are created a little higher than man, you and I have absolutely no capacity to take Satan on ourselves. Now, a lot of charismatics will say, "Satan, get thee behind me. Satan, I condemn thee," and they'll try to do something. That's extremely dangerous. You don't have that power. The only one who has power over Satan is God. What we need to do is rely on the Lord. Now, if we rely on the Lord, we've got plenty of power, because it's God's power. But the worst thing in the world is to try to handle Satan yourself. You can't do it. So, sin was found in him, Ezekiel 28, verse 15, and Satan led a rebellion of one-third of heaven's angels, only to be cast out of their authority positions in heaven. This is recorded for us in Revelation 12, 4. He's the dragon, and with his tail, he cast a third of the stars to the earth. The stars is a figurative reference to angels. And those angels that fell with Satan are now demons. Okay, they were originally the angels of God, but they chose to go with Satan. And apparently, since that fall, the will of the angels has been locked in. The good angels are always going to remain good angels. The bad angels are always going to remain bad angels. The bad angels are demons. These fallen angels are demons, and they are organized under Satan to carry out his will. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 4 tells us that Satan is the god of this world spiritually, and that he has an ornate organization of demons. You've got principalities and powers and so forth. There are head demons over smaller demons, and smaller demons over localized demons and so forth. And these demons are scattered throughout the world. and they carry on Satan's bidding. Now, Satan is not God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. But he's got his demons spread out all over the world. So, you know, you can be absolutely sure that in a room like this, there are demons present. They obviously want to be, because their goal is to try to obstruct the will of God and the work of God, which is what we're doing now. As a pastor, when I come and I start teaching Sunday school class, when I start preaching Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, I always sense the pressure that is there. We've had men who have filled the pulpit, they sense the pressure too. It's angelic conflict. You're in it all the time, and you're in ministry, so you've got to be aware of that. Now, Satan has a five-fold effort to usurp and replace God's role. This is given to us in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15. Satan tried to usurp God's heavenly throne. This is what Satan is still trying to do. He's trying to usurp the authority of God. Right now, the authority of the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Satan is right now trying to usurp that authority of the church universal. He's trying to do it even locally in our local churches. It's Satan. And this is why you'll get into situations. You've heard of all sorts of wild stories about church splits, problems in leadership in churches and so forth, because Satan has gotten in there and the leaders were not spiritually tuned to rely on the Lord, and they gave in to the wills of Satan and they fell for it. And this is what has created problems in the church. Satan had tried to usurp God's heavenly throne. I will be like the Most High. Then, Isaiah 14, 13, he tried to usurp God's rule over the other angels. That's the figurative stars of God. Then he tried to administrate God's universe. This is what Satan is trying to do right now. He's trying to administrate the universe of God. He's also trying to administrate what's going on in the world. He tried to make God's glory his own glory. The Bible tells us somewhere in Corinthians, it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I don't have it right offhand, where Satan will try to present himself as an angel of light. Satan loves, if he can do so, he loves to get behind the guy who's preaching from the pulpit and present himself as though he were an angel of light, when in reality, he's not an angel of light. It's satanic. So some of the worst people in the world you got to watch out for are people who get behind the pulpit. Now, I go ahead and challenge you to go ahead and put me to the test. I don't mind being put to the test at all. You know, as far as my credibility, I don't mind that. Test me according to the scriptures. That's what you need to be doing. And 1 John chapter 4, 1-4 talks about you can tell if a person is operating by the Spirit of God or by another spirit, but whether or not they confess the incarnation and whether or not they confess the deity of Jesus Christ. For your information, incidentally, I personally believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body. That's my belief. So you can test it in Scripture, okay? But anyway, Satan tries to make God's glory his own, and then he tried to imitate God in every way. I shall be like the Most High. Satan loves to try to deceive. He tries to imitate. He wants to be God, and so he's going to be like God. Now, Satan's purpose for man is to oppose God's plan that man rule the earth as God's deputy. You see, in Genesis 1, 28 to 30, God says, let's create man and let's put him on the earth and let him have dominion over everything on the earth. The animals, plants, you name it. Whether it's in the sea, in the sky, on the land, and so forth. That's what God wanted. When Satan got man to sin, man fell from that lofty position, and Satan became the god of this world. So, Satan wants to oppose God's plan for man to rule the earth. Now, someday, when we come back in the millennial kingdom, we're going to be ruling on the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't want it. But by then, Satan is going to be cast into the bottomless pit and held there for a period of time. But this is one reason why there's always been a challenge of developing good male leadership, like in churches and in homes and so forth. Satan is opposed to that. He does not want men to rule. He does not want men to lead properly. And so he'll do everything he can to change that. This is why the feminist movement in this world is actually satanic. It seeks to usurp the role that God has, and it's wrong. Now, as a man, I'm not opposed to women. I do not hate women. I married one, for goodness sakes. All right. What I'm talking about is the roles that men and women have. God wants men to be in the leadership, and Satan is opposed to that. Since man sinned, Satan has tried to block God's plan to work to save man from sin. Satan tries to destroy man physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, destroying even the institutions into which man is placed for his good, like his marriage, his family, his government, his church, and so forth. Satan tries to gain God's judgment on man by getting him to sin. John 8:44, Jesus says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. He's a murderer because he got man to sin, which led to man into dying. And Genesis 3:1-6 talks about the deception where Satan came as a serpent and he deceived man and the woman, and the woman actually, and then she ate the fruit and gave it to the man. Isaiah 14:12-15 talks about that. Matthew 13:24-30 and 37-43, Jesus in the parables of the kingdom talks about how Satan tries to destroy the church by infiltrating the church with unbelievers and then bringing false doctrine in so as to disrupt the discipleship within the body. This is why pastors constantly, especially, have such an ongoing battle with false doctrine, because they're combating what Satan is trying to do. Mark 5:1-7 talks about how the demoniac was overcome and he was crying daily. He was in the tombs. He was depressed. He was cutting himself. That's suicidal tendencies. That's satanic. He was emotionally disrupt, and they would bind him with chains, and he'd break the chains. He was very dangerous. Job 1:12-19 and 1 Corinthians 7:5. 1 Corinthians 7:5 talks about how Satan tries to destroy marriages. It's amazing, through immorality and through lots of different areas. So Satan is out to destroy you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He's out to destroy your marriage. He's out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your government, your church, everything that is around you. That's what he's out. That's his agenda. Now, God has given a spiritual provision for man to have victory over Satan. In Colossians 2:11-17, shares this. Let me just stop briefly and I'll read that. Colossians 2:11-17. Speaking of Jesus, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the sin nature by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sin nature, your flesh, has he made alive together with you, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that's the law, which was contrary to us, and took it away out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, those are demonic forces, he made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it. That's a technical phrase that refers to what the Roman soldiers would do. The Roman generals, when they defeated their armies, they would take their enemies and they would tie them in long ropes behind their chariots. And they would parade these long rows of prisoners behind them, exposing them and making public show of them. Christ made a public show of Satan at the cross, triumphing over them in it. So Jesus Christ has given us positional, in Jesus Christ we have the positional opportunity for victory over Satan. The question is how. The believer's position in Christ applied to the angelic conflict is explained as follows. Satan accuses fallen man of sin so that God must punish him, culminating in man's being destroyed by God's punishment. This effort counters God's plan to bless man. We know that in Genesis 1, 27 to 30, where Satan, where God wanted to bless man and God wanted to have him rule. But in Zechariah 3, 1 to 2, you have Satan standing at the right side of the high priest and condemning him and critiquing him because of his sins. And you have Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, sitting on the other hand, and he's combating the criticisms of Satan. What's happening right now? God the Father is sitting in the throne like a judge. He's got a gavel here. And Satan is going in and he's bringing up accusations against you and against me. And sometimes those accusations are genuine because we've actually sinned. And so Satan says, God, you have to lower the boom on this person because this believer A has sinned. They've done this or that. But once believer A confesses his sin, Jesus Christ says, I plead the blood. My blood has covered this because this believer has just confessed it. At that point, God the Father lowers the gavel and says, case dismissed. Cram! Down comes the gavel and the case goes out. So Satan has to go out and get something else on you. And this battle is going on day and night, the Bible tells us in Revelation 12. Day and night he would accuse the brethren before the Lord. So, that's what's going on right now. Now, God nailed the list of accusations against man for his sins to the cross of Jesus Christ, Colossians 2:14. When man receives Christ as personal Savior from sin by faith in him, man is forgiven all sins and positionally installed with the glorified Christ because of the atonement of the cross. This is why the cross is such a wonderful thing. It shifts you as a believer once you believe in Christ. The cross of Christ shifts you out of the dominion of Satan into the dominion of God's Son. Thus, positionally glorified in Christ, the believer enjoys positional victory over Satan. Christ positionally spoiled Satan's powers over man at the cross. In the process, these spoils were turned over to the church in the form of spiritual gifts so the believer could have experiential victory in serving God. We don't get this stated explicitly in Ephesians 2:4, verses 8 through 11, but Dr. Ryrie in his footnote talks about this. Ephesians, this is why spiritual gifts are extremely important in the realm of the angelic conflict. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 8 and following says this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, that's his victory over Satan, and gave gifts to men. Dr. Ryrie in his footnote says, in Psalm 68:8, in which the triumph warrior is elevated when he returns from the host from prisoners, receiving gifts from the conquered people and distributing gifts to his followers, Christ conquered Satan and all that had conquered us. So, because of Christ's conquering over Satan, God has given us gifts. Now, these spiritual gifts are closely associated with the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is greater than Satan, and who equips the believer for spiritual victory in life and service for God. The gift that God has given you, and I've been given a pastor-teacher gift. I don't know what your gift is. You might have the gift of showing mercy. You might have the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation, the gift of administration. If you use that spiritual gift that God has given you in the reliance on the Holy Spirit, you will be successful in spite of the angelic conflicts that you face. The problem comes when you get out of that realm. And this is why I am so opposed to the phrase, going out of your comfort zone. That's a popular phrase in evangelical circles today. That's an invitation for spiritual defeat. If you get out of your comfort zone, the tendency is to go off and do something that's outside of your spiritual gift. You do something outside of your spiritual gift, you are a sitting duck for Satan, and he'll crush you. And this is why there's so much defeat in evangelical circles today. Pastors are doing this. People are doing this. What you need to do is to be very careful to stay within the confines of the assigned gift that God has given you. Now, God wants us to have faith. He wants us to have, you know, a multitude of faith and trust God. But it has to be within the realm of the assigned gift that God has given us. If we stay there, we're successful. If we get out of that area, it's disastrous. So the conclusion is, when one believes in Christ as Savior from sin by faith in Him, based on Christ's atonement, he is spiritually positioned so he can enjoy experiential victory over Satan through faith. Now, I put James chapter 4, verse 7b down. It's a very important phrase, and I want to share this with you. James writes in James 4, 7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The question is, how do you resist? And I didn't put this down, but the way you resist is given to us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith." There it is. Trusting the Lord. This is why we emphasize faith. Trusting God, trusting God, trusting God over and over and over. Because as we rely on the Lord, as we work within the realm of the spiritual gift and the assignment that He's given us, we have victory. We step out of that realm, we will face very severe defeat. Okay, that's the extent of how I want to go in this lesson. For those who came in a little later, you'll notice you got everything in a folder this morning. That's by intent. We wanted the folder so you could have it to keep the lesson, because this lesson, although it's just one outline, and it's one outline by intent because we designed it to be a very quick crib sheet, we're going to be taking four Sundays. This is the first of four Sundays in which we're going to go through this angelic conflict. And I gave you the folder so you could keep it. Take it home with you and bring it back, whatnot. I'll make more master copies as we need them. Sometimes people will lose their copies. Okay, no problem. We've got the master, we can make it. But we're just going to Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3 this morning. Next week, we're going to do Roman numeral 4, all section A, which goes up to the very top of page 3. The lesson after that, we do page 3, section B, specific satanic attacks. And then the final lesson is section C and D, discerning and overcoming personal and specific angelic attacks and preventative measures to prepare prepare for satanic attacks. But I felt that it was so invaluable to get this basic information down first before we actually get into satanic attacks. Because when you get into a satanic attack, you have to know, as second nature, you have to know what Satan's agenda is. And once you know his agenda, you can figure out. But you've got to know his plan, his battle plan, what his will is, what his intent is, so that you can offset it for the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. And like I said before, it could be on the lesson here, but if there is something else that has come up, that's fine. We'll address that as well.